reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Exodus. It's on page 78, and we read Exodus 19, beginning at verse 2. The people of Israel set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai. And they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 5. It's found on page 1206. And we read Romans 5 beginning at verse 6. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1041, and we read Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35. "Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon, the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of God is at hand.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel or your epistle lesson for today, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." This is our text. If you haven't heard already, we are rapidly approaching the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. It began, supposedly, when Luther, bothered by activities in his area, went to the castle door, or the church of the castle, and nailed 95 theses for debate up on the door, October 31st, 1517. And the question before him is a question that has dogged mankind since sin entered into the world. How does man become right before God? And essentially, the world answers that question this way: it's by what you do. But what distinguishes the Christian religion from all other religions that man has ever dreamed up is this notion of grace. Grace that is free. That is what Luther, if you will, rediscovered. Not that God has ever tried to hide that from man. You can find grace going all the way back to the first sin and the promise of a seed that was going to come and destroy Satan. But grace doesn't make sense to man. Because again, when man thinks of becoming right with God, he always thinks of it in terms of what you must do. And what Luther discovered, and what in one sense we proclaim, is that God no longer cares about what you do. Doesn't that sound strange? I mean, to our ears, it just kind of, no, that can't be quite right. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for sin, all sins, past, present, future. So when it comes to you and how God sees you, as I love to tell you so frequently, he sees you as being perfect. And that's because how many of your sins are taken away? It's a word that starts with the letter A. Let's all say it on three. One, two, three. Very good. If all your sins are paid for, what does it matter what you do? Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't pay attention to what we do and doesn't have some desires for what we should be doing and should not be doing. In fact, Scripture very nicely lays out all kinds of commandments that we should do or all kinds of things that we shouldn't be doing. But when we live under grace, the question no longer is what we do. But that's what the world wants to change. That's the world's focus. It does so, or tries to achieve that goal through threats, through punishments, or through rewards. But when we live under grace, the focus isn't what you do. It's why you do it. That actually comes through rather clearly in a right understanding of the word repent. Biblically speaking, if you look at the original Greek word, repent has nothing to do with what you do. Calling on someone to repent doesn't mean change what you're doing, although that ought to be the result. The word repent literally means change your mind. Change how you think. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 12, as Jesus begins his ministry, he says, repent and believe good news. The good news of grace. What Luther came to understand, what we understand, is that, yes, we as Christians do live differently, living under grace instead of living under the law. But not because we're compelled to. Not because we're afraid what's going to happen if we don't live right. But from a new way of thinking. Let me illustrate. Something not all of you are aware about my own personal background is that both my parents, who grew up in Wisconsin, were raised in taverns. I think in Wisconsin, there's only two occupations. That was one of them. The other's farming. And as I grew up, there were always alcoholic beverages around the house. And after I was confirmed, and I could have wine at the Lord's table, when we'd have Sunday meals and there was a little wine around, my parents thought, why not? Now, I mentioned this as background to what happened to me as I continued to grow older. Back in my day, and maybe it's still true today, as a high schooler, there were severe consequences if you ever got caught with things you shouldn't be drinking. And I was very active in sports, football and basketball and track. And every now and again, one of our guys would get kicked off the team because he was caught drinking something he ought not to drink. And you'd say to yourself, why would you want to do that? And on one occasion, one of my good friends approached me. It was at one of our high school dances. And he came up to me and he said, hey, you want to come out to my car? He'd apparently gotten hold of something called Boone's Farm Apple Valley or something like that. And truthfully, there are a lot of people I know who would have just jumped at that opportunity. And I'm not kidding, this is my response to him. Why would I want to go out to your car and drink that stuff? My dad's got better stuff at home and he'll let me have it. Which was true. I wasn't afraid of any consequences, nor was I enticed by what was being offered. My father has better stuff. See, that's how the Christian lives, and why the Christian lives differently. Our Heavenly Father has good stuff. He offers us hope when the world doesn't see any hope at all. Clearest example of this is death itself. Go to the bedside of one who doesn't know Christ, as I have on occasion, and be at the bedside of someone who has Jesus, and note how they face death. It's so different. Because one knows what the Father has waiting. It's not an easy thing to go through. But Christians do so with confidence and with hope, not in fear, because they know the Father and the blessings that He offers. That's living under grace. As I've asked you this question also before, you know, why does a Christian not steal? The answer? Good. Do you know if I visited another congregation today and asked that question, I would be up here for a half hour trying to weasel that answer out of them? See, that's living under grace. Not fear that your hand is going to get chopped off. Or fear that you might die if you don't get some food, because we're not afraid of that anymore either. No, we live under the grace of God. And so our focus really isn't, you know, what we do or what don't we do. Our focus needs to be how we think. Do we use that grace that has abounded to us through our Lord Jesus Christ to guide our thinking, which then guides our action? But it's not just ourselves that needs to be the focus. You see, we have a world out there. You have friends, you have relatives, you have co-workers, fellow students, who think it's all about what you do or what you don't do. And their thinking is all messed up. And they find it difficult to do even what they know they should be doing, because it's not the grace of God guiding them. His hope, His blessings, His love is not a part of their thought process. And so it's very important, as we are those people that God has sent out to share the good news, and when we talk with them about their troubles and their problems, about how their life is going off track, we just don't address what they're doing or what they're not doing. You know, you can beat some people with a stick and never get them to change. Because that's not what really changes people. It's the grace of God that changes them. And we need to be sharing that grace, God's blessings, God's promises, God's hope, and teaching them how to think with that. And it's only then that lives can really change. We have a precious gift that we need to be talking about. And in certain eras, when that gift was brought back to light and became the focus of preaching and teaching and sharing, it changed many hearts. And it can do so again when it becomes our focus of what we share with the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001. Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.